Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York, by some miracle. Corey joins us across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, as the snow descends on Lambeau Field, we move on quickly from a dominant performance against the Vikings and get ready for a monster Thanksgiving showdown with the Lions. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
Emmanuel Wilson.
We got the bad, we got
third and one.
We got the ugly, we got
the Minnesota Vikings. That's right. U-G-L-Y. They ain't got no alibi. They ugly. Corey, the opposite of ugly. It looks gorgeous there in Green Bay.
The holidays have started here in Wisconsin. Got snow on the ground.
Indeed.
Thanksgiving week has begun.
I was on the ground in Appleton as the snow started to hit this morning. Almost missed my connection because we had to de-ice the plane.
You almost stayed here for another week.
For another week. I'm all, but we were close to doing watch party.
Hey, we could have done
Shea
it
Banky.
That's fine.
That'd be great.
Been awesome. I actually was thinking about how we're not going to get to do that again this season unless we do a playoffs. So,
yeah,
here's to the playoffs.
So, playoffs is a possibility, most certainly. Big, obviously, monster, huge, ginormous game with the Detroit Lions tomorrow. Banky, it's kind of wild to be doing the transplants the day before a game. I kind of like it, though. Second time we've done it this year. I'm down with it. Good to go. Before we get going, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolay Law. This episode of Packer Transplants is sponsored by Nicolay Law. You never plan on needing a lawyer, but if you're ever in a car crash, suffer a slip and fall, or are injured in another kind of accident, you want someone in your corner who gets it. Nicolay Law helps people across the Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Iowa, and they fight hard for regular folks. Not big corporations, not insurance companies, just you. Calling a lawyer can feel intimidating, but Nicolay Law makes it simple. Their team takes on the stress, deals with the insurance companies, and fights for the compensation you deserve, so you can focus on getting your life back. Injured? Don't wait. Call 1-855-NICOLAY or visit NicolayLaw.com to get started. That's what you want to do. You want to get started. We're going to get started with the hotness. Let's hit it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I don't think it really is too difficult to guess what the hotness is this week. I kind of playfully said, oh, well, you never know during the game, but clearly it was the mocking of the skull chant by the Green Bay Packers, thought up by Javon Bullard, executed by Evan Williams, and the entirety of the stadium, apparently. Phenomenal stuff. And speaking of phenomenal stuff, Brent, less than 24 hours later, had our newest shirt available. We stole the skull, people. That's some good stuff right there. Lots of hotness.
That's a good, much like our other Viking shirt. Our other Viking shirt's a lot on the nose, but that's one of those where, like, you're inside of an inside of an inside of a meta of a game.
If you know, you
and
know.
So, yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
Big time. It's absolutely. Nice. All right, let's get to some Packers news. There is quite a bit of it, as you can imagine. Day before the game, Packers have signed wide receiver Will Shepard from the practice squad. You got to suspect there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a second. Also, Jamon Johnson and Jalen Simpson have been elevated for game day off of the practice squad. And clearly there's some kind of balls in the air here regarding injuries, but probably the headline here is Lucas Van Ness is still dealing with that foot injury. Let's take a look at our injury report brought to you by ThetaCare. Not great, Banky. Not great. Lucas Van Ness is already out for the game. Certainly didn't seem to get through that contest against the Vikings with much aplomb, as it were. Only six snaps on the day. The good news is Dontayvion Wicks. The good news is Keyshawn Nixon trending the right way. He did not participate early in the week, but limited for the other 2 days. He's questionable. Unfortunately, Carl Brooks is out, as is Savion Williams. To think Williams being out is the reason Shepard is up and signed from the practice squad. Probably our returner tomorrow would be my guess. And then, Corey, some really important news for you. I know this is going to really break you up, but the substitute teacher, Lucas Hyversick, has been released. He goes down as an all-timer in Packers lore, having kicked the longest kick in franchise history, and then missed two extra points in New York.
No way that holds up.
That's his legacy.
Against my better judgment, here's what's going to happen.
All right, here we go.
Brian is going to draft a kicker in the third round, and his rookie year, he's going to get a 65-yarder at Lambeau.
No.
That's what's going to happen.
Okay. What's going to happen is tomorrow, at some point, I don't know when in the game flow it's going to happen.
Tomorrow. I mean, it's in a dome.
At some point in the game, in a dome. This is my point. Much like the 61-yarder was. McManus is going to be given an opportunity to hit a 63-yarder, and he's going to nail it. And then he's going to own the record. You heard it here first.
I hope so. Contrary to what you've heard on the internet, I just don't want to talk about a kicker. I don't want to think about a kicker. I don't care who it is.
Right.
But I don't.
You're just anti-kicker. I get it.
Yeah. I don't like any kickers.
I know. It's very true.
I know when I'm betting, which I don't do very often, and I know when I'm prognosticating or predicting, when someone has been doing good, I don't stop them from doing the good that they are doing.
Truly.
In order to allow someone who is kind of good to do the good that they were doing. But I'm also like, what do I know? A whole bunch of nothing. There you go.
At least you acknowledge it and recognize it. Unlike so many others.
Since day one, what are we? Our YouTube channel is 17 years old this week. So
it's kind of crazy, right? 17 years old. Of course, there was like a wide swath of time in the middle where we didn't utilize it.
We're like, she said TV.
YouTube, what's that?
Nice.
Amazing. But it's still got those old videos of training camp.
Half a million on Clay Matthews training camp through the fence. Come on, I shot that myself. Come on, people.
Do we still have the yourself. Yuck Nasty videos on there? Shout out Yuck Nasty.
So. We kept the performers.
Very good. Very good. Speaking of performing at a high level, the Green Bay Packers offense, please, I am begging you, them, Matthew, whoever, keep using tempo. Loved the use of tempo against the Vikings. My worry is that was specifically for the Vikings game, trying to keep the Vikings away from certain substitution patterns, especially with given how much they like to pressure and utilize certain groups, etc. I hope we see a continuation of it tomorrow. And you don't have to do it all game. I'm not saying you have to go up-tempo the entire contest, but, man, it really seemed to help. Really seemed to get love in the offense in a bit of a rhythm.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that they have it in them right now to do sustained, to really be sustained. Because you saw once they kind of got the lead, they stopped doing it. Yeah. And also, you look at the no-huddle rate, which I know is a little bit different, but kind of tracks similarly.
That's fair.
They were three times more in the no-huddle rate than they were, but their highest is 18.5 2 weeks ago. So it's interesting. I think they're using it more, but I think they realize that there's an they can't do it the whole they
no,
you know
you
it's
can't
like
do it whole game.
But you know Absolutely like how not. UWGB women's basketball they can do like a there's certain teams where you can do a full court press like for half the game all the game and I feel like there's a little bit of no huddle where you're kind of full court pressing and you're just the faster you go the more likelihood you are to make a mistake and so you got to like you're kind of hedging right you're hedging between those two things for especially for the offense we have currently.
I will say though the more the offensive line plays together the better I think that the usage of it can be, right? They've got more time on task. They got more time together. Hopefully, you know, clearly, obviously, they work on it in practice. Although this week, they've only done a walkthrough. You know, there is no practice time on a Thursday game. So suspect we'll see a little bit of it. I hope we keep it up at least intermittently throughout the game against the Lions. Elsewhere, speaking of the offensive line, Anthony Belton, the rookie, had been tackled, now guard, kind of made his case there, especially in the second half. My goodness. Nothing's perfect, obviously. Still a lot of work to do, but my goodness. You heard Matt after the game talk about his physical style, and you go and watch the tape, and man, yeah, there's a handful of snaps in that game where he is just taking people's souls. And on the road tomorrow, it's going to be interesting. That's a very different environment, very loud, etc. Hopefully he can still fire off the ball in the run game in particular. Clearly the pass pro is still, you know, a work in progress, as you would expect from a rookie. But, man, really, really good outing for his first kind of extensive action at right guard.
Yeah, and, you know, it looks like Jordan Morgan's just like a default. You just plug in wherever you just don't know who's going to be the guy.
Well, they're just biding time until next year when he's going to probably compete and or just be the left tackle. You know, like he was drafted as a tackle. He's played mostly guard now, and he's clearly not great at guard. I think he looked very good this summer at tackle when given the opportunity. I that would be the suspicion, is that's where he ends up next year.
I just think that one thing on the offensive line, like I said this on Twitter, but I do think there's something to, like, every time people are like, yeah, let Jordan just throw it all over the field, or let Jordan do this or do this.
Right.
I think that the thing we're missing, I think that LaFleur has made a decision before us to be like, okay, we're not going to be that great in pass pro. Like, you know, we're just not. It's going to be a work in progress, and we're going to keep doing it. We're going to focus on the run game, because the times when we need to rely on pass pro, they don't look that
good. It can be dicey, and certainly when you're facing a team that uses heavy pressure like the Vikings and the Eagles a couple weeks ago, there have been some bad moments. I mean, hell, look at the number of times, both in New York and then last week against the Vikings, or last Sunday against the Vikings, where Jordan's got to deal with a guy legit in his lap almost immediately after the ball is snapped. You know, and look, that's not just the offensive line, right? That's also the backs. That's also the tight ends. It's everybody.
Well, and I was going to bring up that 100%. Well, and I will say, like, some of our running backs are better than others, and
yes,
we talked about this last week at Pass Pro, where then you know what they're going to get into. But, you know, also we didn't hear Sean Ryan's name. To your point this last week, which I think is a good thing, but to your point, just to kind of piggyback off that onto where I think Matt's head is like, I'm not going to get my quarterback killed. I want him to learn pressure without having to freaking, like, get him looking like it, you
especially
know, just
with a
having
palm,
too many
bum shoulder
ammo fired at you. You know
what I mean?
It's like it's too much. Yeah,
there are still ways that you can help your quarterback, like, get on track, get him in a rhythm, like we've talked about. And I think we saw some of that in New York, but they certainly didn't seem comfortable doing much of that against the Vikings, which is understandable given that. I mean, I think they had a 90% blitz rate. You know, like every time, legit, almost every time you're dropping back, you're getting numbers at you, you know? So yeah. I kind of understand it. I am very interested to see what the plan is against the Lions, because I suspect the Lions will probably follow that, not to the extreme that the Vikings do, but I think it will be a lot of pressure early. And I've talked about that a bit on Daily this week, but I do think this is going to be a game where, especially early on in the game, to try and establish it, they'll send numbers after Jordan. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
And then coming off the bad, you know, the third and one, the inside zone, everybody's upset, and I'm just as frustrated as everybody on that continuous calls, etc. What about a short yardage package for Malik Willis? You know, I think that this is not an original idea. I know I've seen this kind of bandied about online all week long, and I don't think it's the world's worst idea. Especially maybe down near the goal line, which I know everyone's anathema to, because you don't want to leave Jordan Love on the sideline. I totally
get
that.
But what if you don't leave Jordan Love on the sideline and you have Malik Willis in as the fullback,
have,
or in
what,
as
you have like two quarterbacks on the field
back
at once?
You
they've
direct
done it,
snap.
Like,
you direct,
they've done it
you do a
once or twice already.
Direct snap.
Yeah,
know?
I'm down with that.
You could direct snap to either quarterback. Is that
who knows where it's going?
I don't even know if that's
amazing.
Legal.
Sure. Yeah, they can both be back there. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
I mean,
that'd be hilarious.
Because then it could be like double RPO. What do you even call that?
Now,
double shotgun
dude,
RPO.
Now, this is all fun and games until you remember that Sean Ryan is already having trouble just getting it to one quarterback with regularity. I mean, there's so many snaps that are like,
you're the one that brought up a Malik Short package. You just got me excited.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
I know. I'm just wondering.
Also, I do think the problem
anything
with
other
the
than third and one inside zone out of the gun. That's all I'm – that's anything. I'm legit anything at this point. That's all I want.
I do think the problem with the Malik Willis short package is it distracts you from your overall objectives and strategy in some ways. It's a great
tactic. I think between the 20s, you're right. I agree.
Yeah.
But down near the goal line, I wouldn't hate it. I really wouldn't.
Well, if you're going to do like trick plays with Savion Williams and bubble screens and stuff with him, so why not have Malik Willis?
Right.
I think especially if you can have Malik Willis in as a wide receiver with Jordan in, and it's part
and
of
then have him go
plan.
In motion.
Yeah.
Oh, and they'll tip pass to him. Come on now.
Yeah,
now
I think that's where talking. You're like, wait, what are we doing? And then all of a sudden you can do some other stuff out of that. That's kind of cool.
I like this.
What's crazy is also, where did motion go? It just disappeared. Green Bay Packers just decided we're not even a motion team anymore.
You know, Golden was on the shelf.
It's crazy.
They did a touch of it here or there, but most of their orbit guys, their regular orbit guys, are, sidelined. So it's not just not a ton of it.
I think not going motion doesn't help us. Like, I just don't.
I agree.
I think there is a corresponding thing
to much agree.
Our motion rate being at a certain level, helping to, really understand what the defense is doing too. Right? It's like you use motion to really kind of get a taste of what
it's everything,
throw
right?
At you.
You're doing stuff. You're affecting the defense by taking false steps or putting their eyes somewhere they don't need to be or shouldn't be. But you're also, giving yourself as an offense and a quarterback a tell. Like, is he following? Is it man? Is it some kind of shift in a zone shift? Like, yes, there's multiple levels there. No question about it. I love Willing Gambler coming in here and just kind of rehashing all the news we went over during Packers News at the top of the show. Winning Gambler, get here when we start, buddy. All this has been covered, sir.
It's on DVR. You can just go.
Yeah, or just rewind. Whatever. We talked about
We're live right now. You can be live, and then you can
we have a little
outline.
Let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. Corey, this game, more than any other game, Packers defense has to play four downs with the expectation that they will have to play four downs. It is third and seven. It is second and seven. And Halfley straight up said that at his presser yesterday. So at least it's in their mind, right?
That's good, yeah.
I mean,
they've seen enough times. They've seen enough teams, right? Washington,
yes.
This team already. They've seen enough teams who do this.
Panthers did it all day long.
Yeah,
Panthers did it all day long.
That was one I couldn't think of. Yeah, so it's like by this point, we should know that there's four to X.
Gotta know, baby. And Jeff was spot on when he talked about, like, you're seeing a lot of second down type of calls on third and seven or more, right? Handoffs. We've seen like straight up handoffs, and we've seen screens, bubble screens, things designed to, just pick up five, hopefully on the offensive side of things, hopefully 5 yards and get yourself into a fourth and manageable. Like third manageable, that's so 1999. Like it is fourth and manageable now. That is it.
Yeah.
That is the new way of the NFL. And it's just nice to hear Halfley acknowledge that and understand it. Because God knows the Lions just 2 games ago went for it on every single fourth down in the game against the Eagles. I mean, every single one, regardless of where they were on the field. Now, they didn't convert a one of them, but, that's not going to stop them. They're going to continue to do it. So got to make sure it's in your mindset playing all four downs.
I mean, the crazy thing about this defense, let's just pour one out for the defense this season right now. Because if you look at
– I mean, raise your glass to one. We don't want to pour one out. That means it's dead. We're not pouring anything out.
But whatever we're doing, like, we have not seen this performance by a Packers defense in many
–
two, three decades here we're talking.
This is the best defense since the back half of 2014. Like, that's the latest version of a Packers defense that was actually, like, championship level.
But, like, if this D-line just takes 1.5 step up from where it is right now, it's
right.
going to – like, if you look back on the scores, it's kind of crazy to look back and be like, how How did we lose to the Eagles?
When you allow 10 points, right? I know.
It is like when you actually are like, wow. And also, like, if you're an offensive coordinator in this league, how do you even, like, defend against us? Like, there's going to be a point where, especially as Halfley gets smarter with how he uses Parsons, like, I just don't think that – I only think he's just figuring out now how to use Micah. And once he does that and then puts him in his place – now you can really start to key. Now you can really get that second and third guy looks. And I mean, mm-hmm. It's kind of incredible. As long as Micah Parsons stays healthy, this defense can only get stronger and rely more on us getting pressure with four, which is, you know, the name of the game.
Name of the game right there. No doubt about it. You know, Corey, I try to be, what is the word? Accountable when I am, you know, wrong. And I was certainly wrong this past week about Isaiah McDuffie, because he absolutely shined playing the mic. Outstanding performance.
He did. He really did.
Now, that said, it's going to be a whole other world tomorrow in Detroit if he has to play. We'll see. Quay Walker is questionable. But at least I think he's questionable. Let me make sure before I start telling tales out of school. Where is Quay on this thing? There's like so many names. It's hard to – yeah,
I know. There were so many. I was trying – yeah, questionable.
Quay is questionable. So – against the Detroit offense in Detroit, that's going to be a different story. Like, that's a different challenge, right? But against the Vikings on Sunday, he was outstanding. He was so good, so physical, fast to the ball, sure tackler, had obviously the big interception. You cannot, like, diminish the work he did. He was excellent. So I know I was calling for Tyron Hopper. McDuffie made me eat my words. He was excellent. Now he's got to keep it up, as the coaches always say. You done screwed up, Isaiah McDuffie, because now you set the standard, and that's the expectation, week in and week out.
I'm down with that.
Finally,
I just don't know where the Lions are going to generate offense. That's my thing. Like, they'll try
the running game. And
yeah,
Jameer
I know
Gibbs.
They're going to run it. I understand, but I just believe like there's two different Packer defenses. And one is a Packers defense that open field tackles, gets pressure on almost every play, doesn't really allow the team to do five-step drops or makes them pay for them dearly and heavily. Mm-hmm. And then there's another Packers defense that gets pressure, nobody really gets home. We get the point of attack and we give up another 3 yards to get it over the 4.5 to 5. And then mm-hmm. we just kind of go down in the field and we don't really get turnovers. But we've only seen that defense like two or three times this season. So, I mean, and also,
you're just hoping
like,
the good version shows up tomorrow.
Well, the good version's been around. Like, the good version has shown its face. And also,
yes.
The consistency from this defense. Right now, you could arguably say that the Packers defense is fourth or fifth. I mean, the fact that we're fifth in passing yards and sixth in rushing yards is crazy. That's
pretty
crazy.
Good.
Like,
pretty
usually we'll be like, oh, we're fifth in
we're
rushing
good against this,
and we're 32nd
that.
In passing, right. You know? Or we, right. I mean, like, just historically, like, where we are in the middle right. of the season, there's always, like, on the defensive side especially, there is an outlier, right? There's an outlier. Now, we have an outlier. It's called special teams on the Green Bay Packers, but let's not talk about that.
They're
it's
coming off a good game,
script.
Though. They're coming off
yes,
a good
but
game.
Yes, but special teams is always like, just like, yes. It's... Although, hey, shout out to special teams, the turnover by
Zane Anderson. What a play.
Incredible
what a
play. Play of the game, for sure.
Zero doubt. As we were talking before we went live, and it's going to be fun to watch this front because I don't think you're going to see a ton of pressure calls like safety blitzes, linebacker, you know, dogs, whatever kind of pressure you might be dreaming up. I think this is a game where they rush four, maybe some simulated things where they do rush four, but they drop some guys unexpectedly. But man, last year against the Lions, both games, Halfley really sent numbers. He was, some of them was more pressure heavy games, and this year, this first game against the Lions, they I don't think they sent five once. It was very much kind of rushing four. Now obviously Micah was new then, and it was great to watch that kind of approach be effective. I don't think he's going to, you know, turn around and be pressure heavy all of a sudden. I think mostly it'll be the work of four men. I do wonder, though, if there's like some kind of wrinkle at some point where maybe he sends a cat blitz or he does drop McKinney or Williams down for a safety pressure in some specific moment, right? But as far as like down in and down out, I think you're going to see a whole ton of zone. And I don't think you're going to see a ton of man. And they're going to ask those front four to get after it. Would be my suspicion.
Yeah. And they're going to get after it.
They're still going to find holes,
and as soon as he plays that zone, and if they don't get after it in that fourth second, he's going to find little seams and holes. But I just don't think he's. I think that they're going to play with fire. I think every team at some point plays with fire against Packers defense.
Well, not all of them. The Panthers were kind of the one real outlier in this regard, but most teams end up just getting impatient, right?
Yeah,
and they started.
Well, the Cowboys got a tie because they basically, we're dinking and dunking, we're running, we're doing anything we do the entire game, which is how they ended up with the tie, which is kind of crazy to think about that. I'm talking about the Packers defense, by the way, doing that.
No, I know. Very, very different, world. But yeah, I'm with you. You got to think the Lions are going to come out, I would suspect, trying to like just run the ball all day long, much like the Vikings were early in this game, in this last game, much like the Panthers did when they won. The Eagles ran, although the Packers did a pretty decent job against their rushing attack. I will say they have an excellent two-headed monster that back there. And I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs has been unbelievable, just unbelievable. And their offensive line is banged up and has not been playing well. I know a lot of people saw the news that Frank Ragnow is unretiring. He won't play this week. He won't play tomorrow. He probably won't play next week. I guess the target date for him is to come back in like 2 weeks. That just illustrates how banged up and poor they have been. And they are very banged up coming into this game on Thanksgiving. Their one kind of hope in that regard is to run the ball, stay ahead of the sticks. And they have the backs to do it. So
we just need Devontae Wyatt to eat. That's what we need.
All those guys. Wooden. We need Wooden to eat. Slow that stuff down up front, because that is the engine of their offense. No question about it. Make sure you're checking out the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter for all sorts of Packers goodness, including previews of the game, all sorts of content each and every week delivered to your inbox. There's a link in the description of this video for you to sign up. Shoot your email there. You'll get tons of Packers content each and every week delivered straight to you. All right, Corey, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series, brought to you by Luigi's Pizza. For bigger appetites and bolder cravings, pub-style pizzas with thick, crunchy crusts and heavy toppings. Luigi's Big Daddy with 2 times the pepperoni. It's hearty and satisfying. Same great flavor as the Luigi's pizza you love, just more of it. Luigi's Pizza, taste the tradition.
Luigi's.
Let's go with some Luigi's. Get a little carry the G with it. You're good to go. All right, folks, first up, I want to give a shout-out to Edgerrin Cooper and his toy drive that kicks off this Friday. Holiday Roundup Toy Drive. Tons of great opportunities here for you to help some Green Bay Area public school students. The drop-off locations are yet to be determined. They will be announced on Friday. So make sure you're watching the Cheesehead TV socials. If you're in the Green Bay Area, please, please do what you can. Help Edgerrin here, and what I believe is going to become, hopefully, an annual tradition, the Cowboy Coops Holiday Roundup Toy Drive. Do it, nice. Folks. Next up, there's this gentleman. I don't know his story. I don't know really who he is, other than I found this on TikTok. It's ShyGuy92, really just kind of laying it out after that win over the Vikings. I like his approach. Let's take a listen.
Oh, dear.
All right, now. You know the fucking vibes. It's Victory Monday on this motherfucker. Now, we going to start it off by just saying right out the gate, Thursday is a big game. Detroit is going to want to play their ass off. They going to want revenge for week one because we put belt to ass to their ass already. We 2-0 in the division right now. And if we can beat Detroit, we going to have 3-0 under the division. And I really need Philly to beat the Bears. I really don't want to come on here talking crazy about the Bears because y'all motherfuckers get on my nerves. Your fan base gets on my nerves. I can't stand y'all fan base. I'm not even a Bears hater. I hate the Vikings. I just hate the Bears fan base. So for that sake, I need y'all to take this L this weekend on Friday because we coming back for that number one spot. You kept the seat warm for 2 weeks. We gonna go right back where we supposed to be, and things gonna go right back to order. Go Pack, go!
I mean, that's just beautiful. All right. That is perfect. That's pitch perfect. I absolutely love it.
Speaking of Bears fans
is hilarious.
You know, it's hilarious. Okay, because I'm with him on the Bears fan stuff, especially on the fan base. It's so funny how opportunistic. Okay, this is Bears fans are the most opportunistic fans because they know there are only fleeting moments that they can be atop the NFC North, and those moments have to be held in such high esteem to them because they're not. That's it. That's all they're going to get, right?
Yep.
So, like, literally this week, I can't tell you how many Bears trolls. It's like, okay, if they can ride this wave, and then if the impossible happens, maybe they'll stay atop this crest. So they're like, they know they're at the beginning of the wave because the likelihood of what's going to happen is they're going to realize they're on a boogie board and the surfers are going to pass them. You know what I'm saying? But it's funny because they know that's their lot in life. So
so they have to lean into it while they're, you know.
Yeah, troll while you can get it. Troll while you can get that.
Correct.
Bears fans.
It's so true. You know, this guy that we're going to talk about here, he made a living running over the Bears up front as the Green Bay Packers starting center, a legend, visited Corey's house this weekend. Morning of the game, we got to say hi to Corey Linsley. There with his own Bloody Mary from one Corey Banky. It was great to see Corey. It's great to see him.
He almost chose Ultimate Spice, but then I was like, you know what? Because you get three options with the Bloody Mary. And he wanted it spicy, but then I was like, you know what? We're going to pull back because you got to like take it halftime and stuff.
I was going to say, you got to do something in the stadium.
I can't be the reason that you don't have like a great time at Lambeau. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But it was great to see him, Anna, the kids. I mean, that was awesome. It was crazy to see the oldest, who we used to have over to your house pregame with Anna, as a baby. And now he's like little kid running around, got opinions, talking about stuff.
Yep.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Great to see Corey. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as you know, throughout the season, we produce all sorts of different new merchandise for sale at the Cheesehead TV merch shop. This Friday, there will be a Black Friday sale, people. Be on the lookout. The promo code will be announced on Friday on our social media. Make sure you're ready to carry the G. All your family members are going to need some new Cheesehead TV merch.
Yes.
It comes fast.
I just got the Christmas sweater. I haven't got Stole the Skull. I need to buy that. I got Christmas sweater, and then I got this Power of Love. I love this one. I got We Have Fireworks. I'm going to wear We Have Fireworks tomorrow, even though we won't technically have fireworks.
But we got tons of new merch.
Virtual fireworks. Stella's
so be on the lookout this Friday for the promo code. It is Friday only, people. Friday only. So get on it. It's going to be exciting.
Also, I know you've been waiting. Cheesehead TV unboxing. Come on. That's some merch.
The Cheesehead TV unboxing that Corey did of all his new merch.
That'll have the promo code in it, too, which is going to be
there
nice.
There you go. Sweet. All right, folks. I think we need comments on YouTube, Corey. What's going on in the world?
Kyle A296. Did you guys see the video of Bullard mic'd up the Packers posted? Gave me chills. Go Pack, go.
Dude, it was awesome. It was hilarious. That's one of the best ones they've done. No question.
Yeah. Will Collins 17, do you think with Parsons only playing 30 snaps in week 1 that the Lions might not know what to expect tomorrow?
No, I think they'll have a good idea. There's a lot of tape out there now. You know what I mean? Now, will it be quite different than how they approached, you know, the week one version of the offense? Yeah, probably a little bit, but it's not like there's only so much you can do with a human being. Like, they're not going to drop him in from the roof.
But also, like, what's funny is, what does the tape tell you? To block him with four?
That he's a major problem.
Like, if the tape tells you, hey, look, they tried three and he ran two guys over. Exactly. Oh, Terry Berge. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. If that's the Terry Berge I know, which is a family friend. Hey, what's up, Terry? How's it going?
Happy Thanksgiving, Terry.
The Harp 86, my favoritist cheesehead program transplant. Thank you, the Harp 86.
Thanks, Harp. Super chat. Appreciate you.
Steve Anthony. Steve-O, thankful for you guys and grateful to be part of the Cheesehead TV collective. Happy Thanksgiving to all. We'll be happier with the Packers win. Go,
there you go,
Pack,
Steve-O.
Go. What's up, Steve-O?
Love it.
Saw him last weekend. EK4Town. Game could be a classic. Packers will squeak out a 34-10 victory. How's that squeaking?
It out. We're squeaking out the 34-10 victory. Because it'll be like 10-7 at half, and then they'll win 34-10. I get it. I see where you're at.
Yeah, I think we're going to win like 14-6. I think it's going to be like the Eagles game where it's just like rugby.
Nope.
I just think our defense is so good that it's just like I think we're one of those defenses, but we'll see.
I don't care if it's 20-19 or if it's 45-43 or if it's 10-6. I just get the win.
Neither do I. That's what I'm saying. I think it's gonna be we're gonna get the win, but it's gonna be hard. Ian, Corey and Aaron, thanks for all you and Cheesehead TV does for this amazing fandom. Sorry to have missed you last week. Can't wait to see you all again. Packers are winning tomorrow. Offense will be fire.
Thank you, Ian.
Mike Witt, Corey has got to invite three people from the beat, past or present, to Thanksgiving dinner. Who's it going to be? Maybe McGinn, Mark Daniels. Mark Daniels. That Mark Daniels. Or Wilde, or maybe Huber. Okay, so the beat past, I would definitely invite Lee Renimal. Like, Lee Renimal is my number one guest on my list.
Hell,
if it's somebody
yes.
past. Lee Renimal. Three people. Okay, and then I would invite Pete Doherty. Love me some Pete Doherty. And if he had to show up, like he couldn't say no and he had to be there, Jason Wilde would be my third.
There you go.
But if like you just get to invite him and he has no obligation,
you're just wasting an invite at that point.
Yeah, it's like that was pointless because
why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Real quick, I want to give Valzad 47, a Carry the G Club member for 39 months, a shout out. Says 6-0 line, two wide receiver, two running back, one tight end formation where Brooks is the lead fullback to block a backer in the gap and Jacobs can be a nightmare on the second level. Well, I don't know about Brooks, but they've been doing the extra linemen for these last couple games. I mean, ever since really Tucker Kraft went down, they've had Kennard out there as their 6-0 lineman, and that has been fun. It has been effective,
well,
too.
Well, that is definitely something we didn't talk about. It is kind of interesting because now I'm I was on the Packers data sweep. Shout out Dusty Evely. The weekly trend data for personnel. We went down on 11 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
We went way down, and we came really high up on what's this one in yellow? 611 personnel. What the hell is that? 21 personnel. That's 21. Hilarious. He has 21 we went up on.
But yeah, I'm down on 11 is not surprising given the injuries at the position.
Totally.
At wide receiver.
Bill, may your bird be exquisite, your family joyful, and good energy towards a Packer win.
Great to see you last week, Bill. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, man. Oh, and I delivered your gift to Corey, so you know.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I got that. I have not drank it yet. Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. Although, I will say, we went through some stuff. Some stuff. I didn't get the fridge emptied. I tried. Nagler tried to help me. I purposely ran out of carry the G's like at the end of the game, basically.
So people so had that to Nagler reach would for have other things.
Yeah, all the. And then Nagler was like, I used to like brown ale in college. And there was this brown ale in my refrigerator. And he was like, but not that one.
Can I just tell you how fucking horrible that beer was? Holy shit. I'm like, I'm trying to do Corey a solid. I know he's trying to get the beer fridge emptied. And I'm like, so I took a couple of spotted cows. But then I was like, okay, and I'll take brown ale for happy hour on Monday night. Man, I cracked it open. I had one sip. And I was like, yeah, nope. That was like the beer of destiny. That's what that was.
Sometimes people bring beer of destinies, and I, God love them. I don't know it's a beer of destiny, but you can always tell because when the fridge has been kind of cleared out, but there's still like four or five of a beer
that
left.
That means one was drank, and everyone's like, oh, that's awful.
Exactly. And then people, there's some subconscious thing where people can see that in a beer fridge, like, wait, there shouldn't be five of this. Because if someone drank one, they probably drank a second one.
No, they drank one and then drank Carry the G for the rest of the night. That's what happens.
Exactly. Like, that's what happened. With, but
they bring their own beer, but then they drink Carry the G all night.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind bringing it, but you got to bring stuff that people are going to like. You can't bring something where it's like, yeah, this is an
oatmeal
experimental
stout
brown
ale with a,
oatmeal right, no, stout no, with licorice. Nope. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You're bro, so I get the craziest stuff. They're like, oh, I think you're so going to like this. And it'll, and I do. Like, dude,
I think you're going to like this. And they say it while they're retching. Like, I think you're like this.
Well, no.
Like,
I mean, so you're talking bad to somebody who, like, my favorite beer is Yarrow beer or Goldenrod beer that's made at Sway Brewing. Okay. So you are, I will, I've had a coriander beer that I was like, oh, this is a nice beer. This I enjoy this. Right. And most people would be like, and that's trash. So you know, I hate trashing on beer and then being like, I like some stuff.
Some unusual beers. Like, you know who's a fellow traveler with – or travelers with you on some of the guava stuff from Stillmank? The guys from Hang 10. They were kind of going between the Stillmank and the Carry the G all night last week when I was in Green Bay.
Word.
Shout out Maddie Day.
Shout out Maddie Day. I'm nothing but love for Matty Day, always. Live from Stadium Drive is the original, well, it's not, it's an original show, but it's the original Across from Lambeau show. So we are,
correct,
we are
following
100%
in their footsteps,
following and stealing that idea from them. Also, they were on the butt side, we're on the front side. So there you go. Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. It's not just this year that we have really struggled with third or fourth and one. Why is the question? Is it the lack of a true fullback? Bring back William Henderson. LOL.
It's nothing to do with fullbacks. This is 2025, my friend. It ain't about a fullback. Although, I will say, I love the pitch play they use with Wiley as a fullback. That's a fun play, and I wish they'd use it more. Now, a lot of it has been about trying to run the ball with a non-mauling front. Now, the idea this year was to have a mauling front, and maybe, just maybe now, with Belton and Ryan at center, and I think a improved Aaron Banks, no one really wants to talk about that. Aaron Banks has played better. Maybe with those three in the middle, maybe it can be a little better. But, yeah, I just hate that play because most people
so
just know
what you're
coming.
Saying is we're going to see more shotgun third and ones?
Probably.
I mean, I hear you on Aaron Banks. It's like, hi, we paid for a road grader. Hi. And Aaron Banks
better.
Is like,
he's
sir,
better,
this
but
is a Wendy's.
Here's the thing, though. It's like, it doesn't, like, you can be the best in the world. Like, if they know it's coming, like, they got a decent chance at stopping it. Like, not every time, but usually, if a professional NFL defense knows what you're running,
do you remember there was
and you keep running the play clock down every time, they're going to be able to stop it.
Yes. If you run the play clock down 100%. But here's the thing. The greatest coach in NFL history, and I still believe this. I do think this. Like, if you have 11 guys and they are moving in tandem and
executing,
you're unstoppable.
They're executing.
Running the football can be the most unstoppable thing. I mean, all you got to do is watch 7-on-7s in New Zealand to watch that insanity, and that's not even, like, coordinated blocking. So, yeah.
I'm down with it.
Come on. You had the power sweep play on behind you at the Patreon Happy Hour.
I loved it. I love the power sweep. All in on the
and
power
people
sweep.
People knew that was getting run.
Hell, back in 2003 when Favre broke his thumb. U-71, bringing Kevin Berry. You know, they're kind of doing that now with Kennard. But there, that's my point. Like, get under center. Let whoever it is get a little head of steam going. Like, look at Emmanuel Wilson on the touchdown. He gets hit in the backfield, but he powers through and scores the touchdown. Yep. He's got a bit of head of steam in front of him, you know?
I mean, they clearly know how to run I form. They ran it 2 weeks ago for like four seconds.
Yeah, they could do it.
Evil Badger 72, I took a non-sports fan friend to the Packers game Sunday. Now they'd like to go see the Packers play the Bears next season. If it's early in the season, power chair plant can't plow through snow. great. That's awesome.
That's
you
got to
definitely, that's amazing.
Do it. That's awesome.
Luke Carnes, happy Thanksgiving. I joined Twitter in 2009, and you guys helped make us transplants feel part of the Packer community. The OGs, thanks again. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks, Luke.
Appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
All the support. Happy Thanksgiving. NA Productions, had a great time meeting and talking ball, flowers, and North Carolina with y'all on Saturday at the meetup. Keep up the great work. Till next time.
Thanks. Great to meet you, brother. And thanks so much for stopping by. It was great to meet all of you, really.
Aaron Gonzalez, is this the week the passing offense breaks out? Jordan is balling out, and a 400-yard, four-touchdown game feels right around the corner. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
I don't see it, but maybe, hopefully. I mean, look, everyone wants that, right? That kind of old paradigm of quarterbacks putting up Star Wars-like numbers. I don't see that happening with Matt LaFleur as your play caller. And coach. And it's not, I'm not saying that's a horrible thing or a bad thing. I just don't think, you know, especially when you're talking about inside the 5 yard line, they're going to lean into the run. You know this. The backs are going to get the touchdowns. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I think here's what I think about this, because I've actually been ruminating on this for a while. I think that you are completely correct. So I'm adding on to this. I think that at some point, Matt LaFleur is going to see the unlock code for this offensive line gel together in such a way where he dips his toes into the five-step drop waters of the universe right. In such a way that he gets confidence. He sees a couple of those happen, and then I think like it's on like Donkey Kong against the right teams.
I guess it depends on the defense they're facing.
He's identified that a team is susceptible to that. They may have a pretty good line, but he feels like I've unlocked, you know, code four for my offensive line. We have enough relationships together that I feel like there's enough elasticity, and maybe I have the right running back where I can start to allow Jordan to get 3 to 4 reads. But that day is not today.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it also only takes one play to completely blow that idea up. You know, I'll never forget. Remember how Holmgren would never, ever, ever, ever run shotgun? He hated shotgun. Yeah. Like, he wouldn't do it, right? And then the big revelation in camp one year was, oh, they're going to try the shotgun. They're going to do the shotgun. And I think it was Frank Winters, like, sent the ball over Favre's head, and he was like, all right, that's enough of that. And he never ran shotgun again. Like, it's just, you know, it just takes one play. One bad moment for the coach to be like, forget that.
To your point, this is where that revelation came to me of my point earlier of why he's not going to let Jordan run it all over the yard is because if you look at a couple of those pressure plays, you realize your life is passing before your eyes as a coach with your quarterback. Yes. And you cannot afford that more than you can afford to let him do the thing you're trying to
look, and I can't
allow him
exactly,
to do.
Especially with Jordan still dealing with an AC joint injury in his left shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, don't leave him out to dry. You can't.
Mike Witt, with Brooks being down, I'm kind of excited to see Brinson get more PT. He has played really good for a seventh rounder.
Agreed. Agreed. Every time he gets opportunities, he delivers.
Lions are undefeated when rushing for over 100 yards. Focus has to be stop, limit the run game again. Cooper, Quay need to fly to the runner, which we don't have Quay, right? He's out.
Well, Quay is questionable. We'll see.
Which means probably
it would be nice. Yes, it would be nice, though.
Duffy It's going to be limited snaps, McDuffie. Mike Witt, I can only imagine Paul Allen's reaction to the Packers defense doing the skull last week. LOL. Yeah, I didn't hear that. No, I didn't hear it. I heard another call. I heard another call he made, I think, after the interception or the first
interception. That's the one I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. M.A. Mad does things. I don't think Matthew Golden gets a TD this season.
Hell, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't care, though.
I think he does eventually, but yeah, if he got through the whole season and it never happened, I'm not going to be surprised.
But here's the thing. What about this? What about riddle me this, Batman? He doesn't get a touchdown regular season. And then we get in the playoffs. You don't hear from him. And then we win the first game.
Oh, dude. No. Yeah. It's like Cooper DeJean last year. Everyone was like, oh, he hasn't had any interceptions. No interceptions. Yep. And then he has a pick six in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And then the second divisional playoff or the NFC Championship, all of a sudden it's Matthew Golden night.
I like where your head's at, Corey. I like
where Braden Loya, thanks for Super Chat. With LVN and Brooks out, Sorrell can feast tomorrow.
Here's hoping, man. Here is hoping. No question.
He Soder, Packer, a D-oriented team. Why do I still want the offense on the field when it is a must-have situation? I think that's going to change, He Soder. I think that's going to change.
I'm coming around on it right now. You know, it's just, you know, that's decades of conditioning, Soder. That's what that is.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that's exactly. I agree. Like, it's like, but I'm feeling it in myself. I'm feeling it in my bones where my Packer hesitancy to trust the defense is starting to dissipate from my bones, but it took a long time. It's a hard place to be vulnerable, but after seeing these performances, you just can't deny them. Like you just like allowing any team to score 6 points in an entire game is ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's like having a quarterback almost as bad or if not worse than Jamarcus Russell at the helm. It plays into it, you know.
Yeah, but last season when they had a quarterback that bad, Tommy DeVito, ding, 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 we could not do anything about it. So
look, so if the bar is you're better than Joe Barry, yeah, you better clear it. Lord.
You know, nobody asked for that smoke. I don't know why you need to bring that smoke right now. New York Cheesehead, happy Thanksgiving. Cook us some lion. Go, Pack, go.
There you go. There you go, New York Cheesehead. Let's go.
Mike Witt, Lambeau should fire off fireworks whenever Packers score a TD during road games. I'm for this
life. We've talked about this. We have talked about this exactly.
I'm 100% for this life. It would be great. It would be great because this would be the only broadcast you could see that at. It would be amazing. But they could sell Titletown. What I think would be cool is if they were come to Titletown, watch party in Titletown, thousands of people, like Fiserv, and then you got to give them something so you get fireworks. It's nice.
But it's
probably going to be delayed. It won't be like they do at Lambeau. That would be the thing. Yeah. Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. Favorite Packer Thanksgiving memory, ? Mine is Walter Stanley taking it to the house to end it.
Dude, Walter Stanley is an all-timer, no question about it. You know, it's so funny. I got to admit, like most of my memories on Thanksgiving are bad ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, really,
isn't
I mean,
there
it's
time
all about,
Favre got the turkey leg. Didn't he?
But I was just going to say my favorite moment. We talked about it real quickly with Amon when he was on, but like Brett and Amon getting the turducken and talking with the headsets on and they're talking to Madden. Like,
yeah,
that's
that.
Probably that the awesome. Greatest, like, Thanksgiving Day game moment. Like in my
wasn't there a Reggie White with the turkey leg too? I think we had a Reggie White turkey leg, maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe that was in my dreams. I remember the Favre.
That's an AI. You saw that on AI. That was an AI poll.
Like anytime like the Green Bay Packers are eating turkey, which Jordan Love, by the way, like seriously.
Oh my god, here we go.
Seriously?
Let's do it. Tomorrow. What? Well, Greg Olsen's not on the call. It's Tom Brady, and you know Tom Brady's eaten all his, like, vegetables and protein bullshit, so he's not going to be stealing no turkey. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably, again, like, eating
turkey
is probably
Jordan Love technically should get two turkey legs. Jordan Love should get a turkey leg whether we win or not, by the way.
Yeah, no question about it.
It's ridiculous. Justin, they moved the kickoff back 30 minutes in the slot. Thanks, Super Chat. Did they move it back? Or you mean they moved it forward? So it used to be 11:30. There's a little bit of a controversy where Thanksgiving Day game used to be 11:30 Eastern, and now it's 12:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
Or now it's 1.
No, it's 1 o'clock. Like, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah.
It used to be 12:30. Now it's 1 o'clock Eastern.
Mike,
which is fine. Oh, wait. Can I just ask? I want to ask the group there in the chat. This is something we had on the post, one of our YouTube posts. And it did, just because I was talking to my dad and blah, blah, blah. And Corey, I wanted to get your answer first, but I want to also everyone to sound off in the chat. So on a game like tomorrow, 1 o'clock mine, noon yours, do you eat before, during, or after the game? As far as your before. Thanksgiving meal goes.
Oh, Thanksgiving after? Yeah. No, fuck. I ain't eating Thanksgiving before a nooner.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Like growing up, we would do it during.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We would legit just sitting there with our big turkey.
But that's because we a lot of times had a 4 o'clock, right? We had the afternoon game.
No, but the Detroit games were always at noon or 12:30.
Yeah, my family, my immediate family tends to eat it later because it takes us a while to like make everything, slow cooking and everything. So usually it's like a dinner. So it's like more of like a 5 or 6. I remember when we had it here too, when Packers were playing, we had like more of like a later one.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I was just wondering because it was just funny because I was just, my dad and I were talking about it. It's like, I'm sure we were kind of outliers, but like, man, you know, the whole family, my uncles, my cousins, we would all come and mom would make this huge spread. Yeah. I mean, monster spread. And when the Packers were playing, because obviously they didn't, not like Detroit, they don't play it every year, but when they did,
no.
it was but like, oh yeah, we're eating while the game, like during the game.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Like, if I was in Wisconsin, we would start early because we'd have to go to 3 different Thanksgivings.
Mm. Mm.
So
that's a good point.
Then, yeah, we were eating during the game because the game was just like a thing that happened that was on for 3 hours. But Thanksgiving's like 12 hours, 14, 16 hours, you know?
This is my thing. I was talking to Sarah about this today.
That was a great time in Wisconsin when you'd be like, oh, I'm going to Manitowoc, now I'm going to Brilliant, now I'm going to go to Appleton.
See, mine was Waupun. And then to Oshkosh, and then back to Appleton. Yep. That was me.
And that's the thing. It's like, but you're like, oh, but each place, it's like a freaking huge ass spread.
Yep.
And then it's all your different cousins. So you're like playing with them, and then you're going to play with your other cousins.
Playing
and
football.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, see, this is what I was saying. Like, I got to say, like, I can handle the Packers on Christmas. I'm fine with the Packers on Christmas. I loathe the Packers playing the Lions on Thanksgiving. I hate it so much because I love Thanksgiving. When I get to wake up and just have the entire day in front of me with now 3 football games awaiting me, and it's just the best day in the world unless the Packers are playing, because then I'm totally nervous and I got to work now. But like, it's like just – it just adds all this stress to the most
nice,
non-stressful day in the world.
Here's the thing. Here's my advice for you, and it's unsolicited because you know how I was raised. Sir. So it's a nooner. So take advantage of the nooner.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get your shit out of the way. You're going to have your gut reactions. You're going to do all that stuff.
Know,
get it
know,
out of your
I
system.
I feel you.
Then you're going to just have a nice smorgasbord, and you're going to have some – it's going to be nice.
I'm going to have a good time. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But here's the thing. If they lose, that ruins Thanksgiving. Like, I don't want that. I don't want that.
Well, then they won't lose then.
There you go. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Mike Witt. First beer you ever had, mine was a Point Special. Oh, my God. Made in Stevens Point. Terrible beer. Yuck. Yes. Dude, I had some Point.
That's a classic, though. Point Special. That's classic.
It is. I think Point Special has the record for the longest that a beer has ever been in my refrigerator.
This is so good.
Yeah. And what's funny is, if you ever have any kind of all the places in Wisconsin – if you ever in a Green Bay fridge, if you have there's something about there's a Stevens Point ratio, and maybe it's because a lot of people went to school there.
Maybe,
but it's like
possibly.
I get, dude, when I had that Point Special, even though it was terrible beer, I can't tell you for every 100 people how many people would be like, oh, you have Stevens Point beer in there. Oh, you got Point Special in there, and they wouldn't take it, but they would be impressed by it.
They would point it out, right?
They would seemingly be impressed by
it. Wait, but you didn't answer the question. What was the first beer you ever had?
The first beer I ever had, and I don't think – well, my dad's dead, so I don't think he can get in trouble for this anymore, was when I was like 11 years old, and my dad and my grandfather and my uncle, they needed a kid to, they didn't need a kid. They needed another body to play poker with them. And the whole point of it was you had to drink, and when you lost
right.
and stuff. And so
yeah, that was the penalty,
I believe
right?
it was Miller Lite. So, yeah.
Mine was Old Style at my grandpa's bar in Chilton, Wisconsin. True story. Yeah. And I was not – I was around the same age. Like it's
Old
very,
Style
very
then – Old Style then was way better than Old Style now.
Style now. Oh.
Old Style
out.
Now is trash.
Zeroed out. Yeah.
It's weird. Agreed. They, like, change the recipe or whatever. Justin, Josh Wiley, the Luke Fickell prodigy at Cincinnati.
That's right. He looks good. He looks like a player. Utilize him. I'm down.
Why does everybody like to bring up Luke Fickell? Luke Fickell is like, did they fire him yet?
They're on a roll now, Corey. They just beat Illinois, a ranked team. They're like, they've won a couple in a row.
Oh, so they're not
and
firing
also,
him now?
No, no, they were never. They that got announced like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like, yeah, he's back tomorrow. He's back next year.
Get it. Mr. Gear, this is actually Mr. Tundra. I just want a drubbing of the loins tomorrow. And yes, I've been dreaming. Go, Pack, go.
That's right, Mr. Tundra. What's up?
Okay, Mr.
Appreciate
Tundra.
You, buddy.
Porkmaster, just saw the final injury report. I don't foresee the question, how do you find targets for everyone after the game?
How do you find targets for Wiley and company? I don't know.
Neil Flynn, Fox still owes Jordan Love a turkey, 100%.
You damn right.
100%. 1
billion percent
I was not
correct.
A fan of getting rid of Devontae. Well, Devontae left for more money. As he heads to his Hall of Fame resume, should the Packers have franchised him? Don't know that Walker and Watson were worth it. He would have helped the young wide receivers.
Well, first of all, Devontae was franchised. He was traded on a franchise tag. And fun fact, the attempt was to get not just those picks, but also Darren Waller. But they couldn't get Darren Waller because Devontae Adams was franchised. And there's a very minutia rule that you're not allowed to include a player on a trade of a guy who's on the franchise tag. All that said, Devontae wanted out. He didn't believe in Jordan Love. He's said this publicly. Like, I'm not making this shit up. I'm not telling tales out of school. He has said this. He wanted out. He didn't believe in Jordan. Now, that was, after wanting to get paid, and if they had paid him, a year prior.
Yeah, they had the opportunity to make the payment, and he would have stuck around at the pay. But
the problem,
also,
the
you
thing
can't.
That,
yeah.
There's a couple levels here, right? There's the Hopkins deal in Arizona blew up the entire kind of pay scale at wide receiver during the negotiations, so that messed things up. But the thing that no one really remembers or brings up when this conversation happens is Devontae's people, I'm not going to put it on Devontae, but his representation certainly wanted guarantees past the first year. And the Packers have never, and I mean never, ever done that for anything other than the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Like, that is just not how they operate. That's the whole standoff you saw with TJ Watt in Pittsburgh when he had the hold in. So there are a lot of levels there. That
but
said,
also, if you take.
You don't want Christian Watson? What?
But also, and if you take all those things together, there's no way you're going to take a risk on a guy that may, even though he's greatest at his position, you don't know if you're going to be at the level to be at his position, which is the problem when shitty teams take players like that, like wide receivers especially. You have the superstar. You can't feed him. You don't know how to feed him. You don't even know what to do with him, but yet you have him now. It's not like a Micah Parsons or a quarterback where you can actually do something with these guys. If you have a bad quarterback and you have an amazing wide receiver, you're you didn't do
look no further than the Minnesota Vikings.
Like,
I mean,
what did you do? You
Justin
did not
Jefferson's
help your team.
Sitting over there going, "Oh my God, what is happening?" After I signed my deal, this is my quarterback. Now, they believed in Jordan Love and they did think Jordan would be good, but yeah, Devontae wanted out. He wanted to be with the Raiders. He wanted to be with Derek Carr. He wanted to be closer
to
home.
Yeah, the whole Derek Carr. Yeah, exactly.
I think it was
funny. He was Derek Carr.
Two sides
and he was like, oh, just kidding. On Culture Barbarian, to paraphrase Morgan Freeman, I thought it would take them 4 seasons to ruin McCarthy. The Vikings did it in less than 2.
Poif.
I'm not doing a Morgan Freeman voice.
No.
Mike Witt, I'm currently in the number 2 Eeyore spot. What do I have to do to unseat Soder for number 1, guys?
Join the happy hour every week. So we hear more of your Eeyore-ism. I mean, you got to, Mike, Mike.
Wait, you're encouraging heurism right now.
No, I'm just saying he wants to. I'm just trying to be honest with the man. He's trying to get into the number one spot. You know why Eeyore number one is Eeyore number one? Because he's on Happy Hour every week spouting his Eeyore-ism. So,
yeah,
man,
he has his hand raised before anybody. He's got to get in the bloodstream of the hour before everybody.
I mean, Mike, you got rookie numbers, buddy. If we're being honest, you got rookie numbers. I mean, you have no idea how much Eeyore we've heard from Soder over the years.
Oh, my God.
You have no clue.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. David Williams, Frank Ragnow unretired. Can he play tomorrow?
Nope. He will play in probably 2 or 3 weeks. And by that time, probably the Lions season will be over. Hey-o!
Ba-da-ba-ba-da. Uncultured Barbarian, I've got my pork shoulder, yum, and desserts already made for tomorrow. Just have to make crock pot cheesy to potatoes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Nice.
Yeah, well... I didn't even tell Nagler this because I don't want to be jealous, but because I think you were at my 40th birthday party, right?
Yes.
So yeah, so there's this Babel's Catering, Babel's. They've been around for like 50 or 60 years in Green Bay, and they do like a pork, but they have this special for people that have to work on Thanksgiving. You can go and pick up. So my partner went and she picked up some Thanksgiving dinner at Babel's. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to eat it tomorrow. It's going to be so good.
Well, I got Sarah out there literally behind me as we speak, getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner. I'm stoked.
New Orleans.
Wait.
Let's go.
I can't wait.
I like it.
I cannot
That's
wait.
Gonna be
I'm
good.
So excited.
That's going to be good. Did you give her the Green Bay Gardener hat or did you keep it for yourself?
I could not fit it in my bag. But she will have it by Christmas.
Nagler. Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. Corey used to drink out of a plastic mug from Quick Trip every watch party. Whatever happened to the mug, Corey? Do you still have it? I drank out of it last weekend.
No, I was just going to say, you literally used it during watch party.
Yeah.
Literally, while I was sitting right next to you.
Yeah, because I for watch party, I either do a Brett Favre mug that I bought like in 1995, or I... Or 96, or I do a Carry the G, or I do the Quick Trip. But the Quick Trip, yeah, I'm sure there's all kinds of bad stuff in that plastic. It's too late for me, though.
Too late.
Braden Loya, when Reggie White was an Eagle, he was the first MVP of the game to be awarded a turkey leg from Madden back in 89.
There it is.
Michael will get his tomorrow.
See? I like where your head's at. And Corey, that was probably what you were remembering. Picture-wise.
Yeah, if we could have Micah and Jordan eating a turkey leg tomorrow,
You're in heaven. You're in heaven if that happens. Yes, sir.
Overshadow Sean, happy Thanksgiving to everyone at Cheesehead TV, the chat, and Packers fans worldwide. Thank you, Overshadow.
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Thanks so much.
Jerry wants the recipe for cheesy potatoes, so... Ooh, smoked turkey. Potatoes. Brandy's got smoked turkey. See, now everybody's going to put with their eating.
Oh, God, now I'm just getting hungry. Got to go have dinner. Damn, man. Good Lord.
Neil Flynn, favorite pie for Thanksgiving? Pecan for me.
Oh, it's got to be pumpkin. I'm all about pumpkin.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a rarity, too. Last year, and we have some from some frozen pumpkin from the garden from last year, but... If you ever get a chance, we are so acclimated to pumpkin pie that comes out of the can, which I'm not hating on, but if you ever can get a chance to have someone make you or someone that makes fresh pumpkin pie, it's very hard to make. Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste like what we're used to. It doesn't have the gelatinousness, but it's incredible. It's incredible. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm really not going to lie to you right now. It's just rare. It's very hard to make. It's very hard to get. It's very hard to do it. There's different recipes. We literally, our culture is like, oh, we put pumpkins in cans, and then we take the can, and we do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things, you know? Also, the other thing, if you want to get crazy on Thanksgiving, one of my favorite things is when you take the – it's a Food Network recipe, and I think I got it. I think it – not Guy Fieri, but it was one of, like – those kind of, it was like a Food Network, but anyway,
right.
It might have been Paula Deen, which not to be controversial or anything, but it might have been a Paula Deen recipe.
You're fine.
Going to be straight with you right now. So you take like, you freeze, you take out the cranberry in a can and you freeze it and then you cut it into little things, and then you put a parchment paper in the freezer, and then you dip the frozen into fried like a batter, and then you fry cranberry. Oh my goodness! When you do that the right way, oh man, that's good.
Love it.
That's good right there. I made that so long ago, and I've never forgotten. I'll never forget. I think you were there, maybe, in New York.
When I was going to say.
The turducken.
Yes.
And I invited everybody over at 6:30. This is like in the aughts. Mm-hmm. This is like early 2000s, aughts. Okay?
Yep.
Early aughts.
Yep.
Or way early aughts, like Mike Abbott Taco Nights aughts.
And, Brett Favre was still the quarterback aughts.
100%. And so I'm making a turducken, and I invite everybody over at 6:30. And I don't serve the turducken until 9:30, maybe 9:45. And I remember having to be like, guys, it's coming.
It's going to be worth it.
And
that's all I remember.
It's going to be worth
it. I've never felt so much pressure in my life. I have all of my friends. I have 25 people over in a three-bedroom apartment in fucking Manhattan. It's Thanksgiving. Everyone is expecting food. You know what I mean? And you come you're coming to Thanksgiving at 6:30 and you don't get to eat till 9:30. You're questioning your friendship with people. It's not good.
It's going to be worth it.
You better pray that freaking duck. You better pray that last piece of meat.
You
better pray it's good, bro.
Good stuff. Where are we at?
That's all we got.
We done? That's it?
That was the end.
Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Thank you so much for your support. You guys make everything at Cheesehead TV go. You are the lifeblood of everything we do, along with Care of the G Club members here on YouTube. Thanks to all of you who showed up to the Cheesehead TV meetup. You've heard a few people chat about it. Outstanding group. Shout out to the Legacy Hotel, by the way. I mean, great space. The staff was wonderful. The food was amazing. The drinks weren't bad either. Good time. 100%. Great to see everybody. Great to see everybody who came out.
Shout out
to
Charlene.
Thank you so much.
Charlene, thanks for everything
you, Charlene.
You do.
Really appreciate it. You got anything else, Corey, before I see you again in 12 hours for watch party?
No, just get ready, everybody. Thanksgiving, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good one.
There you go. There you go. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and And just, it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.